It's an honor and a privilege to share the word of God with us today. And I'll try to make it quite brief because we have to enjoy Mother's Day, right? But I believe that God has a word for someone today. And it's not only for women. It's not only for mothers. I'm sure as I read through the scriptures, as we share from the word, God has something for you as well. So open your heart to what God has in store for you. Let us pray. Father, we want to say thank you for this Mother's Day celebration. Thank you for every woman. Thank you for every lady. Thank you for every child. And thank you for the men that support us and cover us and help us. Father, today as we read from your word, as we share, I pray that you bless every heart in the name of Jesus. I ask, oh God, that you use my lips of clay to be a blessing to everybody here, and that we'll not just be hearers of your word alone, but we'll be doers of them also. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We leave here changed, transformed, better than we were when we came in. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So today I have a sermon titled, Mothers Arise. Mothers Arise. You know, mothers, first of all, who is a mother? I don't want to restrict it to someone who has given birth biologically to a child. A mother is any female who takes the lead, fills the gap, blesses the people around her. Any woman that is fruitful, any lady that is fruitful is a mother. I have been blessed by my mother. So, Mom, if you're watching, you don't know, I appreciate you. I love you so much. I've been tremendously blessed by my mom, but I've also been influenced by many others. The primary person, my mom, but others have poured out to me, prayed for me, given me an example. Maybe not directly, but showing that, you know, love and concern, filling the gap wherever it is necessary. So I don't want you to say, oh, I'm not a mom. Don't tell me happy Mother's Day. You are, and I pray in the name of Jesus that you will fulfill the mandate that God has called you to in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like us to read this scripture before we go ahead and go through the tips I have here today. Judges chapter 5 from verse 6 to 8. We can read 6 to 8, then we'll go to the other part. Judges chapter 5, 6 to 8. And just to give a background here, so this is about Deborah. She was a judge, she was a prophetess, she was quite a number of things. She was a wife as well. And she was leading, she was judging Israel at the time. But at that time, there was a lot of chaos. Israel was in captivity, or they had opponents or oppressors. And at this time, they went to battle. She prophesied that God will give them the victory. She prophesied and she helped Barak, who was the leader of the army at the time. She went with him because he said, if you don't go with me, she pretty much pleaded and asked, okay, if you go with me, then I'll go. And eventually they went and they conquered the army that was against them. So this part that I'm going to read was when she was rejoicing, like giving thanks or singing to God about the victory that Israel had at the time. And verse 6 says, this is Judges chapter 5, verse 6. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted, and the travelers walked along the byways. Village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. So there was chaos in Israel. People were living in fear. They weren't doing as they should. But she said nothing happened until she arose, until she said, I will take the place of a mother. I will take the place of a judge. I will take the place. I will fill in the gap for my people to come away from this captivity. She noticed that something was wrong and she arose. And I believe that this is God's command to us as mothers, as ladies, as women, and to everybody too in their own sphere of influence, that you need to arise. You need to arise. And I know there's a need for us to arise. There's a lot happening in the community. There's a lot, in fact, the challenges that our children face these days. I mean, we face challenges. We face challenges like, well, maybe no electricity, no food when you want. You know, we did have the luxury of, you know, having ice cream all the time. We went through things. Be more serious. We went through things. But I, in my estimation, the things that our children in this community, this season, this era, the things that they are going through, I believe is much more than we did. And we cannot leave parenting, motherhood, or arising to chance. This is a call to take a responsibility, to say, okay, this is where we are right now. The Lord has already, you know, prophesied that there will be perilous times. There will be wicked times. Wickedness will increase. Evil will increase. Sin will increase. Lawlessness will increase. But even where all those things increases, when they increase, grace can abound as well. The power of God can abound as well. And we can arise. You know, if you think about darkness, darkness exists because light is not shining. Once light stops shining, darkness invades. And so, to eliminate darkness, you need to shine. To make the world a better place, we need to take our place and influence our children, influence those around us. And in the name of Jesus, the Church of God is marching on, and darkness disappears, and this world is a better place because of you and I, in Jesus' name. So when I read that scripture, I highlighted that things were happening in Israel. Things were not as they should. And Deborah said, until I, Deborah, arose to be a mother in Israel. I just want to highlight some things that could be myths about motherhood, just for us to know that we can influence, we can make a difference. The first myth I have here is that what I do does not matter. What a mother does not matter. She's just one of the numbers. If she doesn't do it, someone else will do it. But no, God put you, made you in that place for a time, for a purpose, as this. Just like Esther, in scripture, we read of many women who made, you know, a difference in their time. Some of them were prominent. Some of them even have books of the Bible, like Esther, right? She was a queen. But some of them, I would say majority of them, were people that just made one decision. They found a moment. They found an opportunity to make a difference. And it was recorded in scripture. And today we're learning from them. There was a woman who brought her child to the Lord. And she, you know, the Lord told her that it's not your time. I cannot give the food that's for children to dogs. And she insisted. That was a woman. How many of us know that the Bible does not tell us the day-to-day of each person? It doesn't tell us, but it highlights moments in time where things happened that we can learn from, and we can, you know, that can inspire us, that as the Lord inspired the writers. We also learn of the woman with the issue of blood. In fact, some of those women that had notable miracles and made differences and that inspire us today from the word of God, some of them, we don't even know their names. We don't know their names. So you cannot say you do not matter because you have a name. Hallelujah. At least I can trace that somebody said something. You said something. I can trace that you have a fingerprint, a footprint. What you do matters. So I don't want you to say as a mother, oh, I'm just here to just count the days, wipe all the, you know, boogers. And no, it does matter. Even those little, I mean, I'm going there. Another myth is that I have to be prominent to be influential. I have to be prominent to be influential. That's a myth. That means you have to be seen to be a person of influence. Others have to see you. How many of, we're in church today, right? There are some people that you have not seen in service today that have done important things for this service to occur. the media team, hello? Somebody there can decide to switch off the mic and people online will not hear me. You also will not hear me clearly. How many of us have you seen your heart? Have you seen your lungs? But do you believe they are important? They are essential, highly essential. So you don't need to be prominent to be influential. You don't need to be prominent to do what you need to do or to acknowledge that, oh, what I'm doing is, you know, important. You need to know that you are God's masterpiece. You need to know that you are in that place for a reason. So it's a myth to consider that if you are not seen by people, you are not influential. The third myth I have here is that my role is small, so it does not matter if I don't fulfill my role, right? So it's one thing to realize that, oh, it's small, it doesn't matter, but you can ignore it or not step in that position to fulfill your call because you feel, well, if I don't do it, things, life will still go on. Yes, life may go on, but it will not be the same without you. It will not be the same without you. You know, there's a reel I saw on Instagram that says something, church is not complete without you. You know how you spell the word church? There's you in the middle, and it's emphasizing the importance of that one letter. It is not complete without you. So it's a myth to say, oh, because it's small, if I don't do it, if I don't arise, if I don't take my place, then, you know, everything will be fine. You have a role to play. The fourth myth here, the fourth one here, it says, my role should be prominent or else I won't do anything at all. So that's inaction. The one before was considering, oh, if I don't do anything, then, life will go on. No one will know, right? Every life will go on easily, but it's better with you in there, with you in there. So the action here is, okay, don't just go by without doing anything. The fifth one here says, others have done everything. There's nothing more for me to do. We have seen great mothers. We've seen great people. Or we can say, oh, my child's teacher is very, very good. Have you met Mrs. Baker before? Can you see the homework she brings for my child? In fact, she's my child's hero. She has done it all. She's God sent, is what you will say. Yes, God has put people in the lives of your children, but you are not there for decoration. You are not there to be inactive. You are not there just to exist. You are there to arise. In addition, yes, you are blessed by, we are blessed by electronics. Hello? We're blessed with TV. Those things are blessings. They should be addition to what you are already doing, primarily as a mother. So don't say everyone has done everything. They are, you know, they have a good father. They have a good grandma. They have a good auntie. I'm not anything. I can't do anything. That is a myth you don't need to subscribe to. Amen? Number six here says, my role is common daily tasks. So it is not precious. I do the same thing. In fact, I can do it with my eyes closed. I can cook those delicious meals with my eyes closed. I can do laundry with my eyes. I can do multiple things at the same time. That's how much I've mastered it. And so it is not precious. It's nothing to me. No. Like I mentioned, the vital organs in our bodies, the heart that beats, the process of taking in oxygen, those things are repeated, right? But are they important? Are they important? I mean, I was here. I didn't even know my son was going to come. My two sons were up here, praise the Lord. And the first one, I was like, oh, nice. The second one, I didn't know. I mean, I was just moved to tears because I felt like, you know, there are sometimes as mom, you feel like, moms, we feel like what we're doing, is it really making a difference? What am I not getting? What am I not doing right? I hope God did not make a mistake by giving me these wonderful and beautiful treasures. Those doubts come. But I want to tell you that you are doing a good job. You are doing an awesome job. It may seem like you don't say much. It may seem like you're not. And again, we need to watch comparison. Because we can compare our children or compare our situations with others. But yours is unique to you. God gave you that child for a purpose. He gave you that child for a reason, for such a time as, and he knew you before he gave you those treasures. He knew the circumstances. 2 years ago, I preached a sermon on Moses' mother. I believe, it's online, you can check it out. I was blessed preparing for that message. I believe that God was just downloading some things to me. And one of the points I made there was that in that time, it was also a hard time when Moses was born. People, the Pharaoh had said that the children should be killed. But in that chaos, in that moment of distress, God gave Jochebed, as Moses' mother, wisdom to craft something for her child that preserved him. And I believe in that message I said that some people would give excuses to say, oh, I'm not born in a certain neighborhood. I have this background. I wish I lived in that more affluent place. But where you are, God has wisdom available for you to thrive in your assignment as a mother. With the where you are, as difficult as it is, you have the necessary things. The scripture says that all that pertains to life and godliness has been made available to you. So that point that I mentioned is, my role is common daily task, and it is not precious. That is a lie. That is a myth. Don't believe it. The last one I said here is that a perfect mother never makes mistakes. That's what some people believe. Oh, I'm not a good mother. I'm not a great mother. I'm not a perfect mother because I've made mistakes. Even in raising my children, I yell at them too much. I have bad days quite a bit. In fact, I saw something recently. I said, if someone is passing my house and you hear me yelling, just consider it a motivation speech to people who are not listening to me. So I am motivating them. I'm giving them a motivation speech. And I just need them to hear. They're not listening. That's why I'm yelling. Hallelujah. God will help us. We're all work in progress on this yelling thing. My daughter was saying the other day, why are you yelling? I said, because you're not listening. If you listen the first time, the second time, then I won't yell. But maybe you didn't hear the first and second and third time. That's why I had to yell. Anyway, God help us. So a perfect mother is not someone who doesn't make mistakes. We make mistakes. We are human beings. But we have God who is with us. He helps us. He partners with us in this process of raising the legends that he has given us to nurture. Amen. And so I'll go to the part of my sermon that says how to arise. And people who know me know I like things so that we can remember. I don't know, maybe we have to get a name for that, but ARISE, we're going to use ARISE as an acronym so we can remember. By the way, I want to put a plug in for one of the messages I preached. As I was listening, as I was preparing for this, I remembered a message I preached. I believe it was even in our old location, and it was about parenting, and I mentioned 5 things there. Maybe somehow we'll share that. But if you look, if I find it, and if you, maybe on WhatsApp, on my status, I can share it so we can go, because I believe it will be a blessing to you. So the first thing I have here is arise. The first one is A, arise. And this is like a double whammy. It says, acknowledge your influence. Acknowledge that you have the power to influence and then act. So acknowledge and act. It's one thing to know that you have influence, that you can make a difference. It's another thing to take steps in that direction. You have the power to influence. Let us read this scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. It says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also. Here, Paul was writing a letter to Timothy and he was telling him, I know this faith that you have, it first was in your grandmother, then Eunice, and then I know it's in you. There's an opportunity to have a legacy or build a legacy of faith when you invest in your children, when you actively influence them, not by default, but by design, by intentionality, by saying, I will impute the word of God in you. I will pray for you. So in that sermon, I mentioned a couple of things. I said P for pray, P for praise. Praise your children. There's a lot going on out there. You don't know what they hear in school. Pastor mentioned the last sermon about, you know, how his teacher, the things the teacher said and did, just really confined him for a long time. As children, it's a very, very delicate moment that the seeds that are sown at that time can torment them for many years to come. That's not a portion of our children. But one way you can do it, because you don't know what happens in school. In fact, there are some things that have happened in school I got to know a couple of, maybe weeks or even years later. I just recently, well, maybe last year, I asked one of them, I said, oh, do you know about boyfriends and girlfriends? They said, yes. I said, do any of your friends have girlfriends? One of them said, yes. I said, what? How come I don't know? There are many things you don't know. But what you know is what the word of God says about them. And you have to tell them. You don't know what they will hear in school. You don't know what their friends will tell them. But you tell them what God says about them. You tell them the instructions from the Lord. You teach them, because there are many things that they hear that are not in alignment with the word of God. Remember, I started by saying that darkness thrives when light refuses to shine. And so to dispel that darkness, you need to shine the light of the word of God. Say praises to them. Let them have so much praises that it drowns every doubt, every fear, every negativity. There's this illustration about, a dark drink or Coke bottle in a cup. It existed. Someone poured it in there, right? But as you keep pouring water in it, that is the water of the word. As you keep pouring the water in that cup that represents your child or the heart of your child, it dispels away the negativity, the darkness, the doubt, the fear. Amen. So I mentioned in that script, in that sermon, pray, praise your child, prune your child. Just like a garden. I said that the seeds that are sown in the heart of a child, you know, it can germinate into something that they will have to deal with when they are older. But as a mother, as a father, as a mother, you can prune. You can also portray by being a good example. By being a good example. There are some things that I didn't know my children were watching and they ended up doing. They just see and they copy. They say, they see, they probably would imitate much more what you do than what you say. I mean, it's great to say things, it's great to instruct, but make sure that as you are saying those things, you are also doing those things, because it makes it sink, it makes that truth sink deeper in them. You can plant, and then you have to be patient. Sometimes we want the seed that we planted today to germinate today. No. You have to be patient. Just like you prune in a garden, a farmer, when he has a field, he's planting, right? But he knows that there must be seed, time, and harvest. Be patient. And I like the scripture Pastor prayed over us earlier when he started. He was saying, you know, that we should not be consumed by fear. Because sometimes when you sow those seeds and you hear things around, you're like, in this community, in this country, you know, how will my children thrive? Things that we're not used to. I think for the guests that came to visit yesterday, I was telling them that all the dishes that I learned when I was a young girl with my mom, I won't say all, but like most of them, I'm not even using them right now. So it just makes me ask the question, maybe I should not have been cooking. I should not have been slaving in the kitchen with her. Because my children, they're not eating Nigerian food anymore, sadly. So I'm having to learn some new recipes, you know, with more meat, more vegetables, more things that I've never, like taco, I never heard of, like, but this is where we are in. So there's no point wishing we were in Nigeria. There's no point wishing we were somewhere else. And I don't want us to be blind to some of the great testimonies we've heard of children who were born here, they grew up here, and they became godly people. Yes. Yes. But bad news travels faster than good news. Sadly, bad news travels, and it can instill fear in your heart. One of my confidences is that I had a good upbringing. There were challenges. There were opportunities for me to sleep. Thank God for His grace that kept me. I trust that same grace to keep my children. They will not fail. They will not slip into the hands of the enemy. Same God, same grace, same power will keep them. So let not fear overtake you. Be confident in the God who keeps. Amen? The second letter in arise. So the first one is acknowledge first that you have the power to influence and act, right? So that's AA. And then the second one is rely on God's guidance. God is with me. That is God's promise to us. He said He will never leave us nor forsake us. The psalmist was saying in Psalm 27, verse 10, he says, my father and my mother, they may abandon me, but God will not. He will be with you. And He's the best person to teach you to be an excellent mother. Partner with God for every step of the way, because there are different seasons in life as a mother. And it requires different postures. Sometimes you need to be brave. I'm raising two boys. They are becoming quite independent. And I am generally not a confrontational person. I love my peace. I believe you should know what to do. And you should do it. Right? I like peace. I don't like problems anytime. Someone got the gist. You know, some people say the other way. I want problems always. I don't want issues. So I normally would not want to confront, but I realize I have to arise. I have to arise. So it's pushing, motherhood is pushing me out of my comfort zone. And I know there's grace for it. Amen. It's pushing me. So there's sometimes you have to be brave. There are sometimes that you have to be calm. You have to be as bold as a lion sometimes. Sometimes you have to be wise as a serpent. Sometimes you have to make suggestions. You put the lead in the way so that they will follow it and say, oh, mommy, I thought about this, but you are the one who led them there. Because by wisdom, if you go directly, they may not take it. But if you just guide them, the point is that they get it, right? We don't want them to resist it. You don't want them to resist the truth. So you need to rely on the Holy Spirit for wisdom. These are the children that He has entrusted to you. He knows them much more than you know them. He knows when they will encounter things. He knows the troubles that they are facing. There are some things they will not tell you. Sometimes I've got to find out some things, and the reason they didn't tell me was because they didn't want to bother me. There are children that are facing bullying in school. And one of my friends told me that the reason why her daughter never came up to her to tell her was because she knows that she would go back to school and try to confront it, and it will make the matter worse because they will come and say, "So you told your mom about it." And so they won't share some things, not because they want to be secretive, but they just feel like it won't be helpful to them because they are going back to that school anyway. They'd rather just put their head low. But with the wisdom of God, God can reveal some things to you. He can give you wisdom. Sometimes he may not reveal exactly what it is, but he will give you the wisdom, or he'll put a scripture in your heart to pray over them. He may put a scripture in your heart to discuss with them. He may put it in your heart to share a story, an experience that you had, that they can say, "Oh, if mommy went through that and excelled, then I can go through this." Amen? So you need to partner with the Holy Ghost. You need to partner with the Holy Spirit. You do your part and put it in his hands. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 from verse 5 to 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." In all your ways. When you are picking a school, when you are picking friends, when you all of those things, acknowledge him. I don't want us to consider acknowledging or praying to him about those things as a chore. As you are doing it, be involving him. Because one of the things that used to hinder me, I believe that I'm getting out of it, was because I'm so busy doing so many things, I feel like because I didn't have that 30 minutes, 1 hour prayer in the morning, like I used to when I was single, then I cannot be effective. We need to erase that mindset. God is with you everywhere. As you are bathing your children, as you are preparing for them, you can speak the word of God over them. You can connect to heaven at that moment. Don't wait. Do you know that, I don't really know much about it because I'm not a witch, but I've heard of people, the people in the dark world, they cast spells. Like they put spells on chairs, things, and they don't think so much about it. They just do, like they just touch things and they become infected, or they become, why can't we do that? I bless you as they're going to school. I bless you today. You are blessed and highly favored. Put the blood on them. As you are doing things, involve the Lord. As you are going to speak with their teacher, ask the Lord, "Lord, please help me." Doesn't have to be so much of a prayer vigil to be able to involve him. If you think about it, when Jesus was with his disciples and they experienced a storm, and the ship was about to, you know, get buried in the storm, how much time did they have to call the Lord to say, "Come and help us. By the way, as we were going, as we passed this coordinate, you know, this is what happened. And by the way, right now, the wind was at 10, you know, miles per hour. Now, it is now 80. This measure of water has entered the boats." Jesus would be like, "What? Just tell me what it is." What they needed to do was just wake him up. And I'm sure it wasn't a long prayer. They just said, "Jesus, Jesus, wake up, the storm." Sometimes it's just Jesus. We are busy moms. Yes, God will give us wisdom to create that time where we can. I sometimes struggle with it, but I realize that early in the morning is better for me. Some people are like, I must sleep in. Well, if you find that late at night works better for you, find out what works for you. But the thing is, even when you fail on that commitment for that dedicated prayer, as you are doing, as you are on the way, as you are getting them ready, make sure the word of God is on your mouth concerning them. Make sure you are connecting to heaven. Sing a song over them. Ask the Lord for help. There are sometimes I wake up in the morning and I'm like, "You are my strength. Strength like no other. Strength like no other. Reaches to me today, today. Reaches to me today. I need wisdom for today. I need wisdom for daily living.
We are very, very important in our homes. I realize that when I'm not on top of my emotions, everywhere is just somehow. So you need to find a way to always connect with heaven. He is your peace. When you get peace with him, you'll be able to establish peace in your environment. So connect with him, partner with him, rely on him. That's what the R is. Rely on his guidance. You cannot do it on your own. You are limited. No matter how skilled you are limited. You don't know tomorrow. You don't know what they've heard. You don't know where they are going the next minute. But as you rely on him, he will help you. But you need to acknowledge him, as that scripture says in Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Acknowledge him and he will direct. Acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16 says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." And scripture also says we should be as bold as, instead of righteous, is as bold as a lion. That just shows that different things in different scenarios, you need to be, as you rely on him, to be able to, you know, fit in those scenarios, and be effective in those seasons as you raise your children. I is invest in spiritual strength. I mentioned it a little bit in depending on him. Feed yourself, strengthen yourself. Because really, if you don't have the wisdom of, or the word of God on the inside of you, how are you going to be able to declare it over your children? How are you going to be able to instruct them in the way of the Lord? How are you going to be able to put earphones, listen to the word of God, listen to messages aligned with the word of God? The reason why sometimes I realize that when I fall back on investing in my spiritual strength is because I did not schedule it, I didn't plan it. If you tell yourself, I'm going to listen to one word every week, apart from what I hear in church, I'm going to listen to one word by trusted people of God. Again, I have to say that because there are some people that claim to be people of God, or men or women of God, that they are not. So you also need to measure whatever you are hearing by the word of God. If it is not in accordance with the word of God, if it is not giving love, peace, joy, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, that's not. If it's not giving all those, then exit. But anyway, I was saying that in building yourself spiritually, schedule it. So as I'm listening on my break time, I'm going to listen to a 30-minute message. Or I'm going to start. Because sometimes you say, oh, Pastor, his message is not 30 minutes, so that's why I can't listen to it. Listen to half. Oh, hey, you see now? You can put it on 2X. And it will automatically be turned to 30 minutes. Put the YouTube on 2X. Or even podcast or whatever. You can do that. Right? And even if you say, oh, I like but the way he speaks, and if I do it, I won't be able to hear. Listen to half of it. Then listen to half the next day. If there is a desire to do it, you will make a way. You know, one of my colleagues, one time at work, he told me, I was talking about family. I just said this in passing. I will never forget the time and the place he said it. He said, sometimes people say, oh, I will find time to do. He said, no, you will never find the time. You have to create the time. He said something to that tune. There will always be something to do. Even the devil will keep you busy. Instagram will keep you busy. Facebook will keep you busy. But you have to say, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to invest in my spiritual strength, because I need to be strong. If I truly realize that my help is from the Lord, then I need to invest in my spiritual wealth so that I will be equipped enough to be a blessing to my home. The Bible says in Isaiah 40 verse 31, "But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." So when we wait upon the Lord, our strength is renewed. Proverbs chapter 31 verse 17 says, she girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. Sometimes our weak, our hands are weak. We may just feel like, how am I going to get through today? But when we wait on the Lord, when we ask him for help, when we invest in our spiritual strength, then we'll have reservoir to take us through those hard moments. Amen? S in Arise is for seeking support and community. Seek support and community. We cannot do it alone. We look unto God, but God has also put wisdom in people. He has put encouragement in people, fellow sisters around you that you can learn from. So you need to be open to learning. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, 9 to 10. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 10 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. The next verse, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he shall have no one to help him up. This speaks of community. Even God, when he created man, says it's not good for man to be alone. He wants us to be in community, church community, families, sisterhood. You know, families that will help, that we can learn from each other. There are many times when, maybe that's why women like to come together. When we talk, oh, you say, oh, so you two, you are going through that too. How did you? We find that common ground. Scripture also says in Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembly together, assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We need to encourage each other. Some of us know our strengths. There are many people, when they have new babies, I say, oh, I know experts for sleep. Pastor Dami and Pastor Evidence. Because I know that's their strength. They know it. I don't. Personally, I grew for my two older kids, I was at home with them. Of course, they had their own room, but I didn't really need them to sleep through the night because I was with them throughout the day. So I don't have that experience. And then with my daughter, my mom was around. So, you know, I didn't need to do, but I know, because when I talked to them, there was a day I was also minding David, and she would say, oh, don't worry, just turn off the lights, put it, and he would sleep. I'm like, ha, this is a wonder. Some people know how to do it. If you don't associate with them and you feel like, I got it, me and God got it, you don't got anything. If you don't ask questions, if you don't say, this is where I need help. In fact, in my home, I've started asking for help, oh, because this is not telling on Pastor or any of my children, but you can see somebody walking. But honestly, they are not seeing you. So I've realized that since they are not seeing me, I have to make myself known. I have to make my request known unto them so that peace will come to my heart. So I say, please, can you help me? If you didn't see me, in my mind, I'm like, since you didn't see me, please help me. Please help me do the dishes. The boys too. Help me. Help. It is your house. It's true. I say, it's your house. How can you just pass by? You see something on the floor. Who's going to pick it? Your maid? No. Pick it up. That is responsibility. That is accountability. So ask for help. As I put sick here, I believe the Holy Spirit inspired me. We women, we are very sacrificial. We want to do everything. You cannot do everything. I do not give you the permission to do everything. Even if you have been doing it. When you now, I think at some point, and this is a confession, at some point, because my mom was with me, right? So it was easier. Carrying on, and my mom is very, very sacrificial, very hardworking. When I knew it was time for her to leave, I said, Mommy, in fact, sometimes when she has to travel for a few weeks, I say, Mommy, anytime you go, it's always like chaos. So please let them do things. So I had to So I said, Mommy, let them start folding their clothes. Even the little one, she can pair socks. Sometimes she will tell me, oh, Mommy, it's so hard. I'm like, just do it anyhow. Because by doing it, they will learn. By doing it, they will learn. I said, do you want me to do all of this? How do you expect me to do all of this? And you are pressing phone. No. And the truth of the matter is, when they are busy on electronics, they are not seeing anything. When they are engrossed, enjoying it, they are not seeing anything. So I will help you see. I will help you assist. So I've realized that, even though, that's why I'm telling you, I told you that my nature is not to be confrontational, but now, it has pushed me. I'm now very, I'll be saying things. The other day I was talking to them. I kept on talking. I said, you're not responding. And they're like, Mom, I didn't know when you were done. I'm like, because the talk is now even more than it was before. Normally I'll be quiet, but now, I've been telling them as it is, giving them hot hots. God is helping us. So I said, you're not responding. And I told them, one of the things that when I'm talking, when I'm having a conversation, don't just be quiet. Give me a response. Talk to me. I want to hear. This is all that does not like talking. Sometimes I just prefer text. I feel like I don't have much to say. You know, let's just be clear. Let's get things done. Fast. Be effective. But now I'm the one asking. I've said this. Say your own. I want to know what I'm saying, because I want you to get it. Is it making sense? Do you know? I'm asking them what I said. Does it make sense? Do you feel like you can? Then do. Okay, what am I doing that you don't like? Okay, I will adjust. But so I want that communication to be going. I want it to be very, very effective. I don't know how I got there, but seek support and community. I always love it when women come together. I learn from women. Today I put a post on our women's group. I said, you all inspire me in more ways than you can imagine. Maybe because I'm not very expressive, you don't even know, but I'm taking notes. Some people will tell me, oh, I like the way you dress today. I will tell them, I'm taking notes from you. I see the way you put things together and I'm learning. Sometimes you say, I don't see, I don't talk, but I am watching. That's to show that your influence is beyond you. It's beyond you. So seek help, seek support, seek be part of a community. Don't draw back. We can draw strength from each other. We can connect people to each other. We can help each other. Ask questions, read, go online. I mean, I know Instagram and things like that, they are good for entertainment, but I learn a lot from being online. I learn things. I see the way someone put together their house. I'm like, we can do this at home. I've seen children recite scriptures. I learn a lot from online. So let's not think that our community is just for us to entertain ourselves. It's for us to build ourselves in helping us to arise to our role as effective mothers. The E there is embrace rest. Embrace rest. Enjoy life. Embrace rest. Enjoy life. Look at what Jesus said in Mark chapter 6, 31 to 32. He was telling his disciples, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in a boat by themselves. When I read this scripture, like, this is just giving vacation. It is giving boat cruise. It's giving destination happiness. Like, hey, please take a break. We're always working, sacrificing, doing this, doing that. We're chasing the dollars. Some people are chasing dollars so hard that they don't even pause to enjoy it. And sometimes they push themselves so much that they don't live long enough to enjoy that which they have amassed. That is not your portion in Jesus' name. Jesus was telling them, he says, if Jesus can say, come apart and rest for a while. That's why he created the Sabbath. Of course, he wants us to walk. Jesus himself said, I must walk the walk of my Father while it is still day. For night comes when no one can walk. That's what Jesus said. But Jesus also said, come rest. There are 7 days in a week. 24 hours. Surely there must be time there for you to take a breather and rest. Rest your bodies. I mean, I know you know I must put in a plug for our women's retreat. It's coming up in August, just before school starts. Some people say, I don't have the money to travel, get on a vacation, get on a plane to Hawaii, or go somewhere to do all inclusive, or get on a boat cruise. I don't have the money. Or I'm even scared to leave because I know some people are concerned about some things. I don't want to leave. I can't be away from my family. You love them so much. I can't be without them for more than, 5 days. Come to the retreat. It's an opportunity. You'll be in a hotel. I promise not to load it with too many programs. You can relax. Well, we plan to swim. Because some people are like, I don't know. Yes. You may not know how to swim, but you can sit in the water. Right? You can shake your legs. You can have a good time. And it's not expensive. But the thing is, we don't prioritize it. We don't think it's important. Some people don't even believe in vacation or resting. But Jesus said here, come apart. Eat good food. You know, when we're on the plane about to take off, they'll tell you, if in case there's an emergency and all of that, take care of yourself first before your child. It's because if you are not alive and well, you can't take care of someone else. But our default mode is, I want to do. I want to make sure everyone is fine. But take care of yourself. Rest. Breathe. I'll close with this scripture in John 10:10 in the Amplified Classic. John 10:10. It says the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. The abundant life, when you have it, then it overflows. Like I said, Happy Mother's Day usually is a blessing for everybody. The things we get, we share it. That is our nature. We love to give. And so, the Lord is telling us today that he came for us to have life and to enjoy it, have it to the full until it overflows. But you have to have that life first. You have to enjoy it first. I'd like to invite the choir to come as we sing this song. As I was preparing for this, I believe that it's a song and it's a prayer. And I know that the Lord God will, expand it in our hearts, the words that we have learned today. And we go to that place of responsibility when we arise. I just read what A stands for again, to acknowledge and take action. A, acknowledge, act. R, rely on God's guidance. I, invest in your spiritual strength. S, seek support and community. E, embrace rest and enjoy life.